topic this week is Birchas Kahanim. But since most of us are not Kahanim, and Yeshua walks in at the right moment, so we'll talk about more from the, for most part, from the Israel's perspective. Usually Birchas Kahanim is spoken about from the Kohen's perspective. So we'll talk about it from the Israel's perspective. So there's clearly a mitzvah on the Kohen to give a bracha to Klal Yisrael. It's one of the Targum mitzvahs. It's an interesting mitzvah because it's presented in the language of a mitzvah kiyum. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, which means the same way with tzitzis. If you have a four-cornered beggar, you have to put in tzitzis. No four-cornered beggar, you're not mechuyev in tzitzis. If you have a four-cornered beggar, you're right, you must put in tzitzis. So the kahanim also, if there is a halacha, it's ma'akev, that we must ask the kohen to give a bracha. We do it by saying the word kohanim. We don't say that the kohen. We do not say that the kohen has no mitzvah to give a bracha. So it's once that is said, though, if he doesn't give a bracha, he's over an asay. So the Torah presents it in the language of a mitzvah kiyumis, and even the language of the Torah, it doesn't say give a, there's nowhere in the language that says give a bracha. It says kosev orachu. If you want to give a bracha, this is how you should say it.
So Rebbe, if there's one kohen, don't we not say kohenim? And then would that mean?
So that's only drabbanim, like many rishonim.
Only
drabbanim.
One kohen, it's only a drabbanim.
Well, first, because it says the language is a language. Kosev Baruch Hu, you plural. So generally, we assume it's only one that's Rabban in that situation. But there is a Sefer Karedim, that so the mitzvah is not only on the Kohen when he's doing the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is on Klal Yisrael to stand there and to be Makabal the Baruch Hu. The language of the Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Simen Kuf Chav Ches, Arachayim Simen Kuf Chav Ches, is that the Israelim should stand there with Kavon and be Makabal, and be Makabal the Baruch Hu that the Kohanim are giving. According to the Haredim, that's actually a mitzvah say the Raisa for the Yisrael to Mechavad and Mechavad Baruchah. The Bir Halacha quotes this at the beginning of the Siman. So that creates a few halachas that Yisrael should not be doing anything else during the time the Kohanim are saying the Baruch, or saying the Birchas, the Baruchas that they're saying, because they have to be focused. Number one. Number two, Yisrael should not leave. In a point where the Kohanim are ready to get off the duchen, Yisrael should not leave the premises, the shul, and miss the bracha. Rishon Zalman Paskins, if there's multiple minyanim going on, it's very relevant in Eretz Yisrael, where duchen is every single day. So you buy the kaisel, and this minyan is by duchening, this minyan is by boruchu, and this. So you do not interrupt neither the Kohanim nor the Yisraelim do not interrupt to answer Kaddish, Kedusha, and Mingus, Rabban, nothing. They stay focused on the Kohanim. All of the halachas that we have about the Kohanim, which are Bali Mum, can't duchen, etc., all based on this fact that we do not want the Tzibur to be distracted. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with a Kohen who has a Mum in his hands or his face from duchening. The halacha, the Mor says it, he does. He can't duchen because it's going to distract the Yisraelim from focusing on the Bruch of the Kohen. The halacha says in that situation, if people are used to him already, this is the way he looks, this is, he lives here regularly, or this is the way people in the city look like, everybody works, they're all printers and they have all these black ink over their hands, that's called normal. Or nowadays, what?
Why does it matter if you?
Or nowadays, since we cover the hands with the talus, therefore the Yisrael Balmum is not a problem because he's not going to distract. But that's why the minhag became that the Gemara does not require the kohen to cover his hands with the talus. Actually, the way the Gemara presents it is that the kohanim would cover their face with the talus and their hands would be out, so they shouldn't see their hands because they shouldn't be looking at their hands either. They should be focusing on saying the bracha. So we want the kohanim to be fully focused. We want the Yisrael to be fully focused. But then the Rambam says the minhag came afterwards to put the talasim over the hands of the kohanim. Therefore, even the kohanim of Balmum would not have this issue. So there's a tremendous stress over here on the Yisraelim focusing on the bracha. Yes.
Is the Balmum issue a deraisa or a bum?
Drabonim, because of distraction. Okay. The Yisraelim are supposed to face towards the Kohanim. So even if they're anywhere in the shul, but they should be facing forward towards the Kohanim. The Kohanim should be facing towards them. The language of Torah is more lehem. You're saying to each other. So there's a conversation going on between the two of them, so they should be focused facing each other. Yisrael, who's behind the Kohanim, would be perceived that he's not interested in getting the bracha, because why isn't he facing the Kohen and focusing on what the Kohen is saying and facing towards him? Therefore, he's not included in the bracha. Let's say there's an oinus which prevents him from moving. You have a lot of kahanim and somebody sitting up on the, you know, towards the front, and he needs to move back, but he can't move back because the person behind him is davening Shmoneh Esrei. You know, walking in front of somebody's davening Shmoneh Esrei. So what do you do? So it's actually machlokes what you're supposed to do in that situation. So Rabbi Yasha says that the halacha is that even if the person who's behind, if he's an oinus, he's not excluded from the bracha. So he can stay where he is. He's an oinus. Rav Moshe actually passes that in that situation, a person would actually walk in front of the person who's davening in order to be able to not be behind the kahanim. Take it a step further. The Yisrael is holding the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. And they get the duchening. You know, a person davening along Shmoneh Esrei, they get the duchening. Or maybe the shul's davening a quick Shmoneh Esrei, and they get the duchening, however you want to say it. So what happens? So Moshe says that the loch is that you interrupt, you pause in your Shmoneh Esrei, and you listen to the brichas. You do not answer, but you listen. Well, let's say you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, and you're behind the kahanim. So Moshe says you walk in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei to be in front of the kahanim, not to be behind the kohen. Rabbi Yasha says you would stay where you were. So they think the meaning is to stay where you are. Consider you have a dinner with oinus.
If you walk to be in front of him in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and then when they finish duchening, do you...
So what do you do? That's an interesting question. In general, there are scenarios in halacha where a person is allowed to walk during Shmoneh Esrei. Let's say a person he was davening Baal Peh, and he got confused. So he can go find a sitter. If he knows where a sitter is, he's allowed to walk. So in halacha, you should go back to your place. Actually, you do not continue. You should, the makom you were conveyor for tefillah, that's where you should finish. So the person will go back to his place afterwards.
So it's interesting. I mean, the person behind, if you're going to walk, and there's a person behind you and they're not walking. So, in other words, they're supposed to walk over, and so are you in terms of... In other words, you have to take three steps after you just walk.
You just walk.
Oh, so it doesn't matter if the person behind you is still dominating. Perhaps.
Well, it depends. Depending on what the scenario would be, right? Okay. Because we want Yisrael to listen, so the tefillah of the Rebbeinu Shalom that we say, Chamasai Shalach, so the Mor says that the part of Birchus Kahanim allows that for a Hatzavas Chaloim, and a person who has a bad dream should get up when the Kahanim are being Narsa Kapayim, which they're duchening, and he should say this tefillah. He shouldn't say it while the Kahanim are saying the words of Birchus Kahanim. So you have a situation where again the Kahanim are singing quickly or Kahanim are singing minimally, and the Yisrael is still saying the paragraph. As soon as they get to the word, and the way we do it, the Makra Shachanor actually has it, the way it's done is that the Makra says the word Yirecha Hashem Yishmerecha, the Makra would say Yishmerecha, the Kahanim would say Yishmerecha, Yishmerecha, and they would extend the last sound. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch says to do it.
And you would say
during that extension. But you says make sure that the actual word is said before you start. For us, it's more relevant the other way around. The Kahanim pause, and actually the Bir Lachah raises the question why we do it this way. Because the whole idea of being Makar is to make sure that the Kahanim don't get confused. You know, once they start singing in the middle, they can get, sometimes, you know, I've never had a Kohen, you know, say the wrong ending, but it's very possible the Kohen got confused and, you know, instead of saying Vishmerech, he says Vichonech, or, you know, or Vichonech, Yishmerech, or Shalom, you know, because he's been busy singing, and focus, and especially not some good voice, he's busy focused on trying to make it sound nice, not focused on remembering which word. So Bir Lachah says, really, the meaning of Shulchan Aruch would be preferable, that the Kohen should respond immediately and then just extend. But as it is, when he's saying it, when the Kayan gets to Yishmerecha, the Yisrael should pause and listen to the Kayan saying Yishmerecha. Okay.
What happens if the Kohen's still in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei?
So if the Kohen's in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and they announce Kohanim, so once they announce Kohanim, it's considered that he's been commanded to go up, so he's mopped the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and he goes up and he duchens, no matter where he's holding Shmoneh Esrei.
He doesn't have to wash.
Now, so washing is a good question. So the logic is that the Kohen has to wash his hands. However, in a scenario where the Kohen knows that he's really been clean since the morning, let's say he washed in the morning right before Davin, he washed his hands, and he hasn't really done anything since, which, you know, especially if you're duchening in Shacharis in Eretz Yisrael. So, I mean, you start Davin, you wash your hands. I mean, you shouldn't be doing anything else during Davin anyway with your hands, right? Over here in Mechutzlars, we do Chumay Muslim, so, you know, there's laning and there's Mishaberos and there's conversation, you know, it's more of a problem. But if a person knows that his hands are clean, we had this situation once. I was a Bacher still, this was back a few years ago, And it was Yom Kippur by Musaf, and the kohen in front of me got distracted, and he didn't realize, everybody went out to wash. All of a sudden, he gets the resay. He goes, what does he do now? He wants the loch. The person has to be erker mokum by resay to be able to duchen, but he has to erker mokum to go towards the duchen. The washing station was the other direction. So if he's erker mokum to go to washing, that's not considered that he went towards the duchen. So if he doesn't get back in time before they finish resay, he lost his opportunity to duchen. So right next to this individual was a refoyer. I was right behind him, and Rav Foyer was right next to him. Rav Foyer asked him, have you went to the bathroom since the davening started? He said, no. He says, have you touched anything you shouldn't touch? He said, no. So Rav Foyer and I bent down and untied his shoes, his tennis, and he went up without washing his hands. And we sent him up that way. So I learned a new halacha at that point in time. I was, so remember, it stuck in my head. This is 35 years ago.
Someone has to have started walking towards the Dauphin by the end of Ritzay?
But somewhere during the paragraph of Ritzay, before I'm after Shkin and Salusion, he has to start walking towards the Dauphin. Right?
And if not, he missed any standard.
That's it. The Chomer Masakan, he can't. So he's B'Shev Al Tas, he's not doing the mitzvah. So it's interesting. Then let's say that we have a situation where the Kayan is, there to sell, it's relevant. Kayan's a novel. So in Eretz Yisrael, even a person who's a noble duchens, whereas in Chutz Lars we don't do that. In Eretz Yisrael, and he's davening for the Amid, so they duchen every day. So what does he do? So by Ritzay, the halacha is that he actually takes a step forward. See, if he's the only kohen, so he will duchen from his place. If there are other kohanim, he has to join the kohanim on the duchen or wherever they go. So during Ritzay, he will take a step forward, and then when they get to Toshim Kol HaChodesh, he walks up to join other kohanim. And he duchens, then he goes back to his place, and he finishes off the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. Halacha does not allow that unless the Baal Tefillah is confident he can get back to his tefillah, which nowadays we assume that's true because people we daven from a sitter, they used to daven Baal Peh, so that can be quite distracting keeping track of all the different things you have to say. But now, so we have it. Then you have to erker mokum, I would say. But the point I want to say is that the kohen is when the Yisrael should wait till the kohen finishes saying the word to say Amen. The kohen should not start the next word. The makir should not start the next word. And the kohen should not start the next word until all of the main everybody in the Hebrew is finished saying Amen. Because we want to make sure everybody hears all the words properly. Answering Amen to duchening even in middle birchas Kriya Shema, a person was behind. He would answer Amen even in the middle of a perek. He would answer Amen. The interesting shaila which comes up there's a little kol rab. So the kohen has to say it loud enough. He's talking to the community, to the tzibur. Kol rab in halacha, the way the more kol rab, it means kol beinoni. It's loud enough people can hear it. Doesn't have to scream. Even though many kohanim do that, but if you're large, it's also a large tzibur. You want everybody to hear. You should say it as loudly as possible. But mikra, then you have to say it loud enough that 9 people can hear. Besides the kohen, if a person has a very weak voice and he can't project himself like that, he can't duchen. He has to be loud if he's talking to the tzibur and giving a bracha to the tzibur. So again, there's like this: he's giving the bracha, and Christ says, "When makabel the bracha, they have to hear it." It's not enough. If I walk down the street, theoretically, famous. I walk down the street and I walk by somebody's house and I say you should have a good day, even though he doesn't see me. I'm not going to give a person a bracha if he doesn't see me. Why not? That would be a valid bracha. But brichas kadam, the lachas, it has to be said to somebody. It has to be said to somebody. So he has to say it loud enough for that purpose.
In Israel who don't hear, are they...
Then they're an onus. They are an onus, and that they can't hear. It's not worse than Am Shabbat, it's worse than the people are out in the fields, didn't hear it either. But the bracha goes, once it's been said to a group of 10, then it goes in everybody.
Would they say amen when they can hear other people nearby saying amen, even though they didn't hear?
Yes, they would, yeah. So in this thing of saying, this is actually interesting, there's a concept in halacha, trei kolei lo mishtamoi, that it's hard to hear 2 sounds at the same time. Right? So you have these 2 different sounds, and you have one kohen's just starting your recha, one kohen's finishing your recha, so it's going to be confusing. So trei kolei lo mishtamoi is an issue. So it is preferable that the kohen should synchronize. And they shouldn't. You have all the kohanim finish. You reish berech, and there's one kohen still going reish. he's screaming real loud. He thinks he's a big tzaddik. Lav davka has such a big tzidkis to do that. It should really should they should trei kol l'mishnamoy. There is a Gemara which says that Ani d'chavivi, since it's chaviv, you're able to hear it. You're nice and lame, and you're able to hear it. So now it's an interesting question to apply that l'maisa. In Chutz Lord, which it comes up in just a few times a year, so I would assume that they would go under the umbrella of Ayin Chavivi. In Eretz Yisrael, in Minig, you know, I want to point something out. There is a Minig brought down. Rabbi Chaim Kotrochetsky brings down the Minig in the Galil, in the upper Eretz Yisrael. It was not the Dukhan every day. I remember I was in Saras a few years ago, and I was in the Kloisenberger, the Sanz Klois, the Sanz Kloisenberger Klois, and they didn't duchen. I was expecting a duchening, and they didn't duchen. And I saw this halacha subsequently that, you know, Minig of North is, they duchen on Shabbos. On Shabbos. Not during the week. So that's interesting. Somewhere in the middle between Chutz Loritz and Yerushalayim, where the main part of Eretz Yisrael, where they duchen every day. To say it's Ayin Chavivi when they duchen every day is a little bit harder because, you know, you hear every day. On the other hand, it's a bracha. You know, what can be more chavivi than a bracha? So Rav Kimager talks about this, and he talks about Kaddish, he says that Kaddish, even though it's said multiple times, but the person who's saying the Kaddish is considered chavivi because it's very dear to him. He can even have an aliyah for the neshama of the person he's saying Kaddish for. So that also goes under the umbrella of Ayin Chavivi. So even though it's done regularly, so even though when it's chavivi, it could be heard, it still would be preferred to do it, try and do it together. One last point. There's brought down the why did the Kaddish have to stay up there till the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, or preferably to the end of Kaddish? It's because the meaning is to give me a shakayach, and then come back and people give me a shakayach and not listen to Chazar Shachat. That's why the halacha says that. You know, so it means this idea of giving a shakayach to the kohen is actually encoded in halacha. It's not just I'm a nice thing. The expectation you should give me a shakayach. So what's the question of a shakayach? He did a mitzvah, he's b'chayav to do. Right. So why are we giving me a shakayach? So one shot I heard when I was very young, he said, you know, the lachos of the kohen can't add a new bracha. If he adds another bracha, he's over with Yisrael Baltoisa. But if I tell him Yeshakarach, he can say brachim to you. So I get another bracha out of the kohen. And so I say Yeshakarach to get another bracha. But that's like, you know, that's pretty sad that we say Yeshakarach to get another bracha. So it's interesting, just go, so maybe just let the segue into the Machshava for the parsha. Going back to what we started with, that the language of the Torah doesn't tell the Kohen to give a bracha. It says Kursav Orachu. Because the first Birchas Kohanim which we had was not a tzivui. Aaron Duchin, Rashi says that, you know, in Parsha Shmini he gave a bracha to Klai Yisrael. He said Yerecha Yar V'Yisa. He said the Birchas Kohanim. That's what he said, without any tzivui, because the Aaron HaKohen's lave was filled with love for Klai. So of course he's going to give a bracha to Klai Yisrael. That's not a shayla. The question is just how he's going to say it. So Kursav Orachu is B'nei Yisrael. The Torah doesn't command to give it. A Kohen of course wants to give a bracha. The question is how do you do it? And so the Torah says this is the correct way of doing it. So if we're dealing with people like that their hearts are filled with ahava, and that's what we actually, the nusach of the bracha is ba'ahava, that it's the bracha is given with love, and it, actually it's required in the law of the Kohen. It's not like somebody in the Sibur, he can't tochen. If the Sibur doesn't like him, he can't tochen either. It has to be ba'ahava. She's dealing with such a person that there's a feeling, such feelings of ahava, he means he wants to give it on his own. He's not just doing a mitzvah, he wants to give it on his own. The Torah has basically helped him figure out how to do it, so of course you would have to give him a Yeshar Koyach, and that's why we give it, that's why there's a very clear response to Yeshar Koyach to that. I guess one last thought is that based on that idea, you know, there's a lot of, why do we only duchen when we duchen? Because you read besimcha. And the entire person is besimcha. Even Shabbos Ramos says, you know, we don't get out of our regular flow at Shabbos as much as we could, and we're still worried about the week, etc. Sabela, it's not the simcha that you want. You want the kohen to be fully in simcha. Why only by Musaf? Why can't you duchen by Shabbos and Musaf? Which really felt like you could, or until they do that. He says, because by Musaf you're a besimcha, because you're going home soon to eat a good meal. It's what the Ramah says. I remember when I said, I was looking at this, you know, what someone says, are you joking? I said, no, it's a Ramah, right? We want the kohen to be in a full heart. He's giving the bracha with a full heart, because that's what kohen should be and do. Okay.